Gary Shaw. I'm one of the original members of the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition. I got involved in this in February of 2000 when the nuclear plant, Indian Point 2, had a steam pipe rupture that released radioactive steam into the atmosphere, and we found out later it also released radioactive water directly into the Hudson River. And I was pretty ignorant at the time. I knew there was some issue about nuclear waste, but I wasn't very well educated. Once that event happened, I started to educate myself and have found that the nuclear power, the industry itself, is a nightmare that leaves death and destruction in its path from the very beginning, which is extraction, through the never-ending problem with radioactive waste. The things that are the byproducts that are produced by nuclear power. Some will be deadly for 250,000 years. That's in particular, that's plutonium, one of the deadliest elements known to humankind. It will be mutagenic and will damage people and create cancer and potentially kill people for 250,000 years. There are isotopes of uranium that have a half-life of 1 million years. We're leaving behind a legacy that I'm not prepared to accept. There's a lot of greenwashing going on about nuclear energy. Everybody keeps talking about what low carbon, you know, it's carbon-free energy. Well, if you saw that film just now, you saw all of those big trucks, you saw construction being done. Every step of the process has a carbon footprint, except for that one narrow slice when the uranium fuel is in the reactor creating tremendous amounts of heat to boil water, to create steam, to turn turbines. So, you know, I'm an environmentalist. I want to try and preserve the earth for my kids and grandkids and their grandkids and their grandkids. I've focused on nuclear because it just hit me like a ton of bricks when they had their problem. So everything they tell you about nuclear being environmentally friendly is a crock. It's not true. And I believe my job has been to try and educate people, because if you knew the stuff that I know about the industry from the beginning, you would not accept it as a viable alternative to anything. Just recently, within the last couple of years, an epidemiologist named Joe Mangano, who runs an organization called the Radiation and Public Health Project, analyzed United States CDC data and found that the three counties around Indian Point have among the highest thyroid cancer rates in this country, and six of the eight counties that have the highest thyroid cancer rates fall within a ring of seven nuclear plants in the Northeast, Indian Point being one of them. So even when the plants are not having catastrophic accidents, and those will happen, they've happened before, they will happen again. What we're seeing in Fukushima is really nightmarish, and you don't hear anything about it because Japan has put in a state secrets act, so people are not allowed to report what's going on there. But every day, and it has been going on for now 4 years, 300 tons of water washes down from the hills above Fukushima. It goes through the damaged plants, it picks up radiation, and it goes directly into the Pacific Ocean. That is the legacy of nuclear plants. There's a guy named Arne Gundersen. He was in the industry for 40 years. He was a senior vice president and a senior engineer. He was called as an expert witness in the investigation of Three Mile Island, and he has a very good statement, a very good phrase. It's called 40 good years and one really, really bad day. So what the risks of Indian Point are just of huge magnitude. And in most businesses, they look at a upside benefit versus downside risk potential equation. The downside risk potential of Indian Point is radiologic contamination of the New York metropolitan area. The United States Military Academy is 7 miles from Indian Point. A critical juncture of the New York City water supply is 17 miles from Indian Point. Wall Street is 35 to 40 miles from Indian Point. When the reactors at Fukushima started to blow up because they generate so much heat that what happens is that the hydrogen and oxygen are separated from water, and there were hydrogen explosions. And the Tokyo water supply got contaminated, and Tokyo is 140 miles from Fukushima. So basically, we're taking this tremendous risk with Indian Point that's unnecessary because, as Manager Joe has just said, the technology is here to have a renewable energy portfolio without fracked gas, without nuclear, without expansion. And by the way, FERC, which is another captive agency, just like the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, just to digress for one moment, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission operates under a structural conflict of interest. 90% of its budget comes from industry fees, and if they close a plant, they lose jobs. So they don't regulate, they enable. And any time a regulation doesn't work, the NRC simply grants exemptions for the operator. I've seen it time after time, and if you want details, I can tell you later. But FERC has just approved the expansion of the Algonquin gas pipeline. The Algonquin pipeline circumvents the nuclear plant. Runs about 150 feet from the reactor buildings, from the containment buildings, as well as the spent fuel storage. Indian Point has been identified by the, and I think I just said this, by the Nuclear Regulatory Commission as the nuclear plant in this country most likely to suffer reactor core damage from seismic activity. It was built right near the Ramapo Fault. And the reason it got built there is because the map they were using was slightly antiquated. It didn't show that that the Ramapo Fault was right there. And in 2008, the Lamont-Doherty Earth Observatory identified a second seismic fault that intersects the Ramapo one mile from Indian Point 3. So Indian Point 3 is most likely to have suffer reactor core damage, even though the West Coast has a more active earthquake zone. The Indian Point is built on bedrock, which has no attenuating capabilities. Earthquakes will have major impacts, and now FERC has just given approval to expand that pipeline to bring in fracked gas from Pennsylvania. It's expanding the pipeline from 26 inches to 42 inches, which basically doubles the amount of gas. So you now have volatile natural gas next to an aging nuclear plant in a seismic danger zone. How bad could that be? So, you know, there are just a lot of reasons. And one of the things we've learned from Chernobyl and from Fukushima is that a nuclear plant failure, there is no such thing as a localized nuclear plant failure. So here we are sitting on a potential catastrophe, and it's unnecessary, and the risk shouldn't be taken.